You're listening to DraftKings Network.
God bless football, Billy Gill.
God bless football, Mikey, eh?
God bless football, Stu Gatz. Wendez isn't here, so I'm okay.
Mikey, I have noticed here, we are taping this on Thursday of the NCAA tournament. You have 9 TVs. There's only 3 games on. What is happening?
I need the Spanish language version just in case they're a little bit ahead. I got to make sure I have all my bases covered.
Right. Billy, how are your brackets?
My brackets so far are intact because I haven't checked the results yet, so I don't know that I've lost anything yet.
Because we haven't had the official result yet.
At the time we're taping, no official results, yes.
I have a story that I want to share with you guys about an old friend that happened to me yesterday that at this moment in time in the entire world I have only shared with Gojo. And it's a go-to that every time something happens like this, I immediately discuss it with Gojo. It's really our only ongoing thread that we talk about, me and Gojo, is this.
It's your only connection point to Mike Golic Jr.?
It's not my only connection point, but it's like we don't text and communicate all that often. But every time this happens, I make sure to reach out to him because I know that he will love it.
Okay.
And I think that all you guys will enjoy
it too. I'm so interested.
Oh, no. You have really piqued my curiosity here. Yes.
So it's a friend from the past that texted me. And he likes this person, as do the two of you. And this person will text things that they're just always so random. And this was by far the most random one I've ever gotten from said person. And I had no idea why I was the chosen recipient of this text. If you'd like, I can read you the text first and you can guess who it was, or I can tell you who it was and then read you the text. Which would you like to do?
I would like you to read the text.
I want to guess. Yeah, I want to guess,
okay. Billy. I really do. You have set this up beautifully.
Okay. So at 10.01 p.m. yesterday, kind of late, not someone that I speak to that often, at 10.01 p.m., I received a text. Do you realize FDR led this country through a depression and World War II while having polio? All capitalized on polio.
At 10.01?
At 10.01 p.m.
All right, so now we have to guess.
Someone that I would tell Gojo about. So try to start thinking of, you know, your Venn diagrams or whatever. Like, what person would intersect with me? What person would intersect with Gojo? Who is
someone? Is that what a Venn diagram is?
Capable of texting said thing that I think that you guys would enjoy and I know that Gojo would enjoy.
You know, when you get an answer that immediately pops in your head and you can't get off of it? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a name in my head, and I'm pretty sure that's not the person.
Oh, really?
But I can't move on from it.
So there's a name in my head as well, and I'm pretty certain it's not the person because that person, well, he only texted about Leonard Fournette. And so
That's who I'm thinking of.
Mikey C.
He only texts you guys about Leonard Fournette?
He has this weird tick. He doesn't care really about sports at all, but he blasts Leonard Fournette whenever he gets the opportunity.
Why?
We don't know.
He always texts me about Kim Mulkey.
Okay. I think with Fournette, it was something in college that he did that cost Mikey C a bet. It cost him some money. Okay, so now I have to think.
It's not Mikey C, right?
What's your official guess? Is that your official guess?
My official guess is going to be Dan Stanzik.
Okay.
No, it seems I don't think Dan Stanzik texts that.
It's at 10.01 p.m. also, remember.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so not Stanzik.
Can I ask a question?
You can.
Bristol-based?
Yes.
My God.
Oh, wow.
This is a tough one.
Randy Scott?
No.
No. It's got to be a connection.
You need to, just put in an official guess.
All right, Mikey C.
It was Mikey C.
It was Mikey.
Of course. What else would it be?
Has he ever texted you about Leonard Fournette?
He's never texted me about Leonard Fournette, FDR, or polio, or the Depression, or World War II, which is why I was so confused. I said, I did. Why are you thinking about that? And then he said, watching an FDR doc.
And he thought of you.
And that was the end of the conversation. I didn't know where to take it. I swear. I didn't know where to take it, and I was not a good texting partner. So when I replied to watching an FDR doc, my only response at, you know, this is now like 10, this is at 10:59. So like time has passed by because I was doing something else at the time. So I didn't respond for 45 minutes. So it's almost 11 o'clock at night. So I'm like, why are you thinking about this? He goes, watching an FDR doc. And my response is just as bad as his initial text where I just wrote, polio was kind of crazy.
Where did he take it from there?
Nowhere. I was hoping to go down a path, but it didn't go anywhere. Anyways.
Billy, can you do me and Mikey a favor and the audience, please? Sure. I promise you it will be gold. We'll tease it for next week. The rare next week tease. At some point this week, okay, just ask Mikey A, hey, what are your thoughts on Leonard Fournette? And just see the avalanche that he responds with, okay? And read them to us, okay?
Okay. Anyways.
He's going to be like, how'd you know?
So Diana Rossini's on the show today, huh?
She is. Yep, she is. I'm very much looking forward to speaking with her. She left ESPN last August. She joined The Athletic. She has been crushing NFL free agency, reporting everything left and right, except when she gets scooped by Adam Schefter. We'll talk to her about that and a lot more.
A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't? The great taste of Miller Lite. In fact, you know what? Here's another thing that hasn't changed. It's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate since 1975, and we still haven't settled it. You know, Miller Lite solves so many problems. I'm not a thinking man. I don't want to think. I want to just find a beer that has undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. One that's less filling? One that still has this incredible taste? How can I do this? Oh, I'll just have a Miller Lite. You know why? Because Miller Lite keeps it simple. It's undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. Exactly what I'm looking for. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/GBF. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Lite Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs and premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text Thin to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text Thin to 200-300. That's Thin to 200-300. Thin to 200-300.
What's going on with you?
Oh, looking at it. Good. Like last week was absurd. Free agency was nuts.
I want to talk to you about that. In fact, I haven't spoken to you since before the Super Bowl. And I didn't see you at the Super Bowl, Las Vegas. Radio Row, Super Bowl week. I missed you, and I miss you. But Mikey A and I were just discussing, what'd you just put on your lips there? What was that?
Put a little lip gloss on because I was shoving goldfish in my mouth as a snack. my eating habits have changed a lot lately, so I'm trying to get healthy. Goldfish aren't doing it, but anyways.
Because of the kids?
Yeah, I just eat their food. That's what is, essentially.
What is your favorite of the kids' foods?
Their chicken nuggets at nighttime when... They're so delicious, and any parent that serves it knows exactly what I'm talking about. Those things, because you don't make that as an adult. I haven't had those since I was a kid. So now that I make them for them when I'm rushing around, it's just like the go-to snack, and they are delicious.
When's the last time you had, like, you know, an adult meal?
Oh, great question. My husband, Kevin, does cook a lot. So I am fortunate that what we do now is we will give the kid food to the kids and then put them to bed. And then we have the adult meal after bedtime. So we've been doing, we've actually had some pretty good meals lately. So I really can't complain about the food in my house.
Mikey A and I were discussing before you put the lip gloss on. And we we got diverted by food talk.
Sorry about that.
We were wondering, because I think it was last August where you left ESPN and you were killing it at The Athletic. And you and I spoke a lot before you made that decision. And so I'm just wondering, as we fast forward here from last August till right now, how are you with your decision? Because you seem to be happy and you seem to be killing it.
Yeah. You say we spoke a lot. I actually, that's the first time you are underselling something. We spoke a tremendous amount, and I'm really so grateful for your friendship during that time, because it was such a hard transition for me, going from walking away from ESPN and television to stepping into a medium that I wasn't really certain about. I think unknown is the scariest thing, or at least one of the scariest things in life, is just taking a leap and not being sure of it. And then also having to believe in yourself.
Yes.
It's hard.
Bet on yourself. Yes.
You know, and you know, you can be told a million things over the course of a career, but you have to truly know what your ability is in your heart. And I was relying on you so much during the transition to just for guidance on that it was going to be okay. Like, you just, it's almost like you had the playbook and the answer key that I didn't have. And maybe you didn't, but whatever you were saying to me was giving me relief. And it was constant fear and paranoia right when I left ESPN. And I remember being at a park and I was with my kids. I was there, but I wasn't there. You know, like, you're not present because your mind is racing. And you just texted me, like, checking in. I'm like, oh, thank God. And I think I wrote back like 700 words back to you. Meanwhile, you're like, hey, I was just looking for a good. But it was a really, you really saw me at a very, very vulnerable state when all the times that you've been around me and you know me, I think I like to think I've been pretty strong and put together. So it feels so good now to be sitting here with you and feeling free of it all.
Yes.
And happy and successful now in when I say successful, I mean in a space of self-satisfaction. And really enjoying The Athletic. It's been 6 months and it's really been the best move I've made.
I just scrolled through our text conversation over the years, and you're right. I just was checking in and you sent me 17 texts back before I responded. Hey, just wanted to make sure you're okay. you were in a crazy space back then, man.
Yeah, you knew. Because it just, you keep hearing, it's almost like the devil and the angel on your shoulder during that time, because it was the voice of, all people do is work in sports to get to ESPN, and you're walking away, you're going to sink and regret this, and this will be the biggest mistake of your life. And then you had the other voice, who was you, which was like, go, do it, believe in yourself, feel it out, try it. And I did it. And
I mean, I was armed with the proof that you could do it, because we had done it and we were doing it for, like, I think 2 years before you had to make your decision. So I knew that it was possible. And then I just believe in you and your talents and your ability. So I knew you'd be fine. You don't need ESPN behind you. You just need Diana Rossini behind you. That's all you need.
I realized, I think, by being away from ESPN that I did learn so much. It was like the best training ground in the world to be an NFL reporter and
amazing
to do what I'm doing now.
Yes.
And I obviously got to watch Schefter and Woj and the best do it. So to be out doing this now on my own, I miss it a lot.
Sure.
I miss my friends. I miss the people. I miss TV sometimes. I miss Greeny. I miss Schefter. I miss Darlington and I would go on shows together and just goof off. I miss those little moments, but it's really cool to be back at that park every once in a while. And I've noticed it since and been like, man, I remember when I was at this place and I wasn't sure of myself, and it feels good to be relieved and feel good about it all now.
Let me say this the right way, because we all work hard to, and we hope to land at a place like ESPN. And ESPN is a fantastic place to work for. And it helped me. It helped build my career. It catapulted both me and Dan to a place where we could do it on our own. So as good of a feeling as it was to get to ESPN, the better feeling is once you've learned from all the great people at ESPN to arrive at a place where you're like, hey, I don't need the four letters anymore. That, to me, was equally as good a feeling as arriving at ESPN in the first place. Maybe a better feeling, Diana.
Yeah, and I think it's if you have the work ethic to do it, because yes, it's not an easy lift. I'd actually argue being at ESPN, you can kick it back a little bit because it's such a mammoth of a place.
Yes.
And it's not, you still work hard at ESPN. They put you on every show if you're going to work there. But it's a different type of grind now. And even making that adjustment has been really hard for me, of going from being sort of TV fit to now what I'm doing now. And it's a different type of wear on you.
You missed the Disney passes or what? Because, I mean, you could use those right now.
Yeah, it's funny. Of course. My husband reminds me all the time. I know. Of course you leave ESPN when our kids are going to be getting to an age where we could use a discount. But that's why you keep those relationships strong. Shout out Jimmy Pitaro. How you doing?
How has your husband been during Super Bowl week, the Indy Combine, free agency? He misses you. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's a nightmare. it doesn't matter that your partner understands what you do, right? Because that's always been the benefit of my marriage, is I have a husband who completely understands the NFL calendar. He gets free agency. He gets and understands why I have to take phone calls and text messages and stop life at many times throughout the day on a daily basis to weigh in on something or listen to someone in the NFL world to help get my job done. But I just mentioned this to him the other day, that I don't understand, if you have the knowledge of what is happening here, why you're so mean to me.
Why? What is he doing?
We're over it now. He's over it now, right? Because it's like, all right, you're gone for Super Bowl for right. 11 days. You're gone for Senior Bowl for 5. You're gone for in Indy for 7 days or 6 days.
How about you pitch in, huh?
It's like I can't do everything. And it's not like I come back and work overtime, right? I just hang out. Like I just go back on my phone.
But he needles you because he loves you, because he cares, right?
Like he understands that we can't run this house alone. Like, you can't do it by yourself, not the way we live and with the children that we have, that, you know, we have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and they're both in the same phase of biting and hitting and throwing things and just they don't do anything right now because they don't know any better. And then it doesn't help when the stomach bug's going around and you have 2 kids puking in the middle of the night while I'm at a party in Las Vegas. I mean, there were multiple nights when I was at the Super Bowl,
right,
where I'd call Kev on my walk back to my room, yes, and he was starting the day in New Jersey. Right? So think about that. I'm coming in to wash off my makeup to get in my jammies, and he's like getting breakfast ready for the boys to wake them up in a couple cases in like an hour.
And you're stumbling home 3 a.m. hammered.
So
I wonder why he's pissed. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't go hard on drinking on right. any of these trips like I used to.
Okay.
Because I just can't do it anymore.
Right. Sure.
You know, it's so difficult to operate on such little amount of sleep to begin with. I'm already behind the ball entering Vegas, right? Because I'm on mom's sleep, which is nothing.
Right.
So to then lose all that sleep because there was one night PFT and I just got hot on blackjack and roulette. And so we're up a lot of money and I'm looking at my phone and it's like 4:15. I have a 9 a.m. breakfast with a source in the league.
Right.
And I'm like, I have to walk away. And he's like, you're going to walk right now?
Right.
With you, you don't walk when you're hot.
Right.
I'm like, I have to go to bed. And he's like, all right. And we pulled it. But please, 5 years ago? Yeah, right. I'm never doing that.
All nighter, right?
Yeah. No more. Those days are over.
Wait, so PFT is right. You cannot walk away from a hot table, especially when you're the one winning all the money. Are you going to tell me how much money you were up or no? Is that?
I think at that time it was like 4K.
Well, you can't walk away in that spot. Did you call your husband?
I talked to him about it.
You did?
Okay. So I did something really cool, I think. All right. So I love to gamble. Love right. it.
Okay.
It's a horrible, it's just my thing.
Okay.
And PFT knows this too. So every single night in Vegas, I think we had dinner once, he and I did not see him at all. He's one of my best friends. Did not see him. Only saw him at the casino late night. That's what we would do because mm-hmm. he loves to gamble and I love to gamble. And was like, we were just feeding into each other's disgusting habits. So Kev knows I love to gamble too. So I just never told him when I won. I kept all the money. Just usually, you know, you want to celebrate, you call, you know, your significant other like, hey, I won this. I kept it quiet. And what I did was I took all the winnings I had in Vegas and I put them in a drawer. And I told him when he got home from work the week I got back to get something from there. And he was like, whoa, what is all this? I said, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, I won all this money. So that was like my way to make up for the fact that I bailed on him for 11 days with two under two, you know?
That was his paycheck.
Yeah, that's what she said. For taking care, daddy duties.
For taking care of his kids. I mean, Jesus. Did you go to any Super Bowl parties?
Yes.
You did.
I went.
But no drinking. No drinking.
No, I would have like a beer or two, but I never really like went. I wasn't doing shots. I wasn't really going hard.
Okay.
I'd say the best party I went to was the Fanatics party. It was the first time I've ever been to that.
Wow.
That was intense to get in, to deal with the security there, and then to just be shoulder to shoulder with Kim Kardashian and all her sisters and Justin Bieber. I mean, I don't know what I was doing there, but it was really fun and cool to be around all these A-listers who just kind of hang out and look at each other. I was actually standing with Myles Garrett and Will Levis at one point, and we were having just like the best conversation looking up at all the celebrities in like the VIP section.
Right.
Which, by the way, those two aren't too shabby in terms of celebrities in that space, right? But they're next to me. And we were just thinking how it's just so much cooler not to be a celebrity like that because you can just sit here and have good conversation and not care that people are staring at you. Whereas, you know, everything Justin and them were doing, we were all just gawking at them, you know? So it's good to be a peasant.
Have you run into any of those instances where you run into the people that you used to drink with like that at those parties and they're still going hard?
Like Trey Wingo.
I'm good with my one beer. I'm good.
So I did see people that I hang with and they were like, why are you not drinking? You know, and people just get it. You get to an age where you're just like, I'm good.
Yes.
And I also don't think I'm any less fun because in those environments, I like you guys think I'm, like my neutral is hyper, right? Like my regular all day is pretty intense and nuts. So then you put me in an environment with good music and people and industry people, I'm like cracked out. People probably do think I'm drunk though, actually, now that I think about it.
Right. You come off as always drunk, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Like what drug is that girl on? But yeah, I cut even the combine in Indy.
Right.
So
St. Elmo's? St. Elmo's. Oh, St. Elmo's.
I was at Harry and Izzy's, which is a steakhouse, and they have this really great circle bar
right
at the center of the restaurant. And I had a bunch of meetings set up. So I really attacked Indy this year like a psycho. I didn't just do the whole let me run into people approach like I have in the past. I set drinks and dinners up with people around the league, whether it's coaches or GMs or agents, whatever, whoever I needed to see. And so there was this one day that led into a night where it was six back-to-backs, okay? So it would be like a drink, another drink, an appetizer, then a dinner.
Right.
But I'm lazy. I don't want to have to go to new places. So I just told these people to just meet me there at this time. So I just sat in the same seat.
You set up shop at the Circle Bar?
I set up shop in Indy at Harry and Izzy's at the corner of the Circle Bar.
I love you.
And the bartender is definitely on to me and is like, what is happening? And on top of it, just to add to it, I think I also had some sort of food poisoning thing going on because I felt nauseous as well. So I'm fake drinking, I'm nauseous, and I have to have these meetings with very important people. And so by the third person, he just interrupts our conversation, me and this person, which I was shocked the bartender did this. And he said, are you a dating service? I said, what? He said, this is like the third person I've seen you sit here with in a row.
Imagine you were.
Horrified. Like, first of all, I'm obviously not on a dating service. They're all meetings, right? They're like people in the NFL. But also the person I was with kind of looked at me like, what kind of operation are you running? Like, I didn't know it was like, it was terrible. And all I kept thinking, what if I was a dating operation there? That guy just called me out.
Right.
Like, I was in the service industry. I was a waitress for years. You don't do that. I had a customer come in all the time. One night he came in with his wife. Another night he came in with his friend. I never said, how's your wife doing? That's it. You know, it's like his business.
You don't do that, right?
So either way, I actually was able to get through all of those meetings with my fake one Coors Light and a half a salad. So yeah, it was a good way to get by. And the best news is I woke up the next day and I remembered every conversation. So that's always a plus.
Because you were sober and fake drinking. How do you fake drink? Like, what's the key to fake drinking? I love this. You're so good at this.
You have to keep ordering more, even though the drink's not done. So, and most people are you know, polite and the chivalry. So most of the people I met with one woman, but that was another thing too. In part of that meeting thing, there was a female in there. So I'm like, man, this bartender really thinks I'm open to a lot of different options out there.
Well, you're a dating service. You're not going to turn down money. I mean,
correct. I'm not turning down anyone, guy, girl, whoever, dogs, come on over.
Dogs.
But it was actually exceptionally successful in terms of just spending time with people. I love that part of the job. That's the one thing I do miss from my ESPN days was being around people, you know, even going to the Get Up studio. Sure. And running into people. There were a few times where I'd see you. Like that is the best. It used to be just like a shot of energy.
Electricity, yeah, so, there was a buzz. Now you're by yourself for the most part.
Yeah, I'm by myself.
Or at the center bar just dating people, you know?
Correct. Just hanging out at Harry and Izzy, right, posting up.
I'm trying to imagine like the funniest person that could sit down with you visually to that bartender that sat down with you. And the bartender's like, there's no way. There's no way.
It's funny you say that. I had one with a very uptight person. And I was thinking that, like, what the bartender was thinking of that situation, because, I mean, I don't even think he was, you know, usually when you sit next to someone at a bar stool,
right,
you're not completely squared to them, but you're like half, right? You kind of do the half thing because you're talking.
Sure.
This person was straight up to the bar and I was like talking to his ear. Maybe he didn't want to be there. I don't know.
I'm dying for names right now, Mikey.
I know. I'm sorry. I hate doing that, but
I love the idea.
Those people I met
with. She's a dating service. She's just churning through all these NFL coaches.
I know. So Mike Silver is one of my good friends, and he swung by to just check in on me because he knew I wasn't feeling great.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, hey, I'm going through my rip of meetings here. So he swung by. He's like, I'm just going to hang out at the bar with my buddies, whatever. Make sure you're doing well and stuff. And so he was witnessing it. And even he was like, you're a machine.
Yeah.
Like, how are you giving this much like energy to people when you're sitting there?
Right.
It's like, well, you got to do it. It's part of the job.
What has surprised you the most through free agency here? Like, has there been a move where you were like, whoa, didn't see that one coming?
So the Kirk Cousins thing felt, I always thought Minnesota had a shot because I thought the comfort Kirk had with Kevin O'Connell, with that team, with that organization, and his overall happiness being in Minnesota and just reading the tea leaves. I even follow his wife, Julie, on Instagram, and I would just see what she shared, and they just look so happy there. And I just kept putting myself in his shoes of two kids, you know, late 30s, you've made tons of money. You know, maybe you just choose a space to that you're just happy in. Why shake it up? Be still. You're still going to make a lot of money, maybe not that much. So to see that he really went after that structured contract where he was safe and guaranteed a job essentially in Atlanta for the next 3 years, that it surprised me a little bit more than I thought that he would do it.
Same here. It surprised me as well. Atlanta seemed like a weird... I'm with you. Like, you're happy in Minnesota. You have kids. You have a family. You have a life. You don't have to change schools again. You don't have to find a new home. Just stay put. Minnesota's pretty good, you know?
Oh, I went back to his wife's page just to watch them, like, packing up and moving, and the kids wearing new jerseys already. I guess maybe because he and I have had this discussion before that we're in very similar stages in our lives in terms of the parenting thing. Mm-hmm. So I guess I was just only looking through that prism. Not as a top NFL quarterback.
through your prism, yes.
Yeah, correct, which is probably the important ingredient in this whole thing was the whole, you know, star quarterback, the thing that I lack.
I can't believe Kirk did this. I would never fucking do this. Like, what does he think?
Right? I also think I'm lazy now. Like, I you know how it goes. Like, the older you get, it's hard just to have that spunk to just be like, let's pack it all up and go.
Right.
And moving sucks.
Yeah.
I've moved so much in my career. It is the worst. So, I mean, granted, I'm sure they pay a lot of money for a lot of people to help them. Unlike me, who just would try to get my brother and brother-in-law to come up to my apartments or out to my apartments, wherever I was living, and pack me up, which I've done that six times. They let me know about it all the time, about how I use them as my moving company.
Well, of course
never
they
paid
do.
Them.
Yes.
Barely bought them lunch.
You should have left them the $4,000 in their draw. What's the matter with you?
You're telling me.
Was there a story you thought you had that you got scooped? Like, did someone scoop you? Is there a story you thought, this is Rossini's story, I got it, I've got the sources, I've got this story, and then someone swooped in last minute, and that someone, perhaps Adam Schefter, I don't know.
Yes. There's a lot of them.
And you love Schefter, by the way.
It still pains me. There was a few of them. Everyone has them. If you're an insider, everybody has these, where there's like five, and I'll say even for someone like Schefter, maybe 10 of them. Well, Schefter gets a lot of them, but I'm sure he's got a few too, but I'll give you mine. It actually was right before the start of free agency. And I spoke to some sources in Denver, some sources in Cleveland, and it just appeared that the trade for Jerry Jeudy was going to be my story. It was lined up. This thing was mine.
Right.
The graphic was made up. The tweet was written. I was sitting at my kitchen table. My boys were watching Miss Rachel, their favorite show. Everything was perfect. All I needed was the thumbs up.
Right.
I got the thumbs up. But I got the thumbs up after I read Schefter's tweet. Broncos trade wide receiver Jerry Jeudy to the Cleveland Browns.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so most of us have these stories down from multiple people, and the teams usually know you have it.
Right.
So they knew I had it. Both teams, the people that were in charge, knew I had the story. And they were comfortable with it. They're like, great. Like, when you get it, great. Awesome. You have the right information. Good digging. Great work. Enjoy your little victory lap. So I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and I'm frustrated a lot with getting beat, and I'm competitive,
sure.
But it never gets me. Like, I can usually, I'm like one of those athletes that can recover from a mistake or mm-hmm. an error really fast. This one got me. So Kevin's in the kitchen, and I said, Jerry Jeudy was traded. He's like, you got it? I go, no, I didn't get it, Kevin. And I just bang my head on the table like a two-year-old, right? Like, you know, when you're just frustrated?
Right.
And I get up, and now I'm dizzy. And I'm like, now I have a concussion because I missed a trade.
Wait, you banged your head in the literal sense? Like
not even just that cute little thing that you do when you're just like, I'm a dummy. Like, I was so...
Right.
Angry.
Right.
Because there's also a process in a lot of breaking news where I really want to do it the right way.
Right.
And I like to almost over communicate with people involved.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it costs you the story.
Right.
Because I should just shut up and tweet it.
Yes. Yes. That's what Schefter does, by the way. I mean,
I think Schefter just had a, a bigger source on this. My guess, I did not talk to him about it, but I do know the word around the league from other reporters, not Schefter. They were messaging me like, heard that was yours. Heard you got, like, they even knew it
you
was
mine. You got Schefter'd, yes.
I got Schefter'd. And I can't, you know, I can't get mad at him.
You love him, Diana. You do.
I do, but I don't now. He beat me on that.
Right. Did he say anything to you? Like, did he reach out to you? And be,
no. Like, no. Oh, I'm going to see him in a few days, and okay. I have another bone to pick with him.
Oh, great.
He was on Pat McAfee today, getting asked the other day, and he was asked about a story that I reported. And he didn't even do, like, the polite, well, you know, Diana had a lot of good sources in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
I'm sure her people are telling her that. Right. Here's what my sources are telling me, though. Oh, no. This dude just straight up picks up his phone. He goes, nah. The Colts and Sneeds, peep. Nope, they're not talking. Nope, no conversation. I'm watching. I'm like, Adam, what the hell? He was wrong, by the way.
Oh, wow. So you're happy about that. Look at that smile, that devilish smile on your face.
I'm having dinner with him in a few days, though. I can't wait.
Are you ready?
Adam's the best to talk about this stuff with, because he and I have a really good space of trust with one another. And we're pretty open. So I'm actually looking forward to laying into him and telling him the story about the trade that I did not get. So that was going to kick off free agency and really put me in a nice position,
right?
Of like, all right, right. First trade of this window. Let's go. Rossini's got it.
Right.
So then I just, that's another thing that, I had to do this time of what was going to be the approach on free agency. Right. So do you go for the little fish knowing that not everyone's going to be on that because they're not paying attention? Do you go for the middle tier guys? And just try to stack up a lot of signings, right? So you get like two dozen signings of the middle. Or do you go hard on the big ones, hover the heck out of them, and hope you get one of the big ones?
Right.
So I'm still trying to think about what was the best thing to do. I chose to hover the big ones this year.
Okay.
That was my approach.
You did a great job. I would say moving forward, just get a flurry out quickly, like just small ones, medium ones, just get a flurry out, get ahead of the game, and then hone in on the big ones, you know?
So it's interesting, though, because the big ones get the traction, though, right? Like nobody cares about the 19th running back that signs with the Rams.
Right.
But any piece of information I had on Kirk Cousins' situation was insane. It was everywhere. Saquon Barkley, everywhere. So it's hard to figure out what the right approach is. Obviously, any information you get, you're going to put out. But in terms of fishing for stuff and putting that effort in and having those conversations with the agents, for me, the big fish worked this time. So we'll see if I change it up.
Mikey, I think you'll agree with me on this. If you're the Athletic, you cannot do what they did to poor Diana Rossini. You can't wait for her competitor to report the story, and that's your thumbs up. You can't. It's impossible to succeed in that spot.
I had a mistake.
Hey, Diana, you're good to report that now. Schefter reported it. Well, I'm trying to beat Schefter.
But like, I know. I had a horrible situation happen to me. So Mikey wasn't feeling well at daycare during free agency. Kevin works in the city. That's an hour and a half to get home. So I'm the choice. Even though it's free agency and I'm home, I'm the option. Because by the time Kevin gets back to take, you know, it's just too much. So I'm going to go get Mikey and we're going to watch a lot of Moana and Frozen, right? Well, I'm going to be on my phone. That's my plan for the day.
Right.
So I pick him up and I'm like, oh, you know what? He loves the car wash. I bet you I can get through the car wash, give him a little giggle, make him happy, and I can get right back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, I pull up to the car wash and I start seeing some movement here with Eric Armstead. So I was in touch with Buffalo to just keep the communication open with the people there, people with Armstead's side. And it just appeared that there was momentum moving to Buffalo. So I'm in touch with the Bills side. I'm in touch with Armstead's people. I'm in touch with other people around the league as well. But I reach out to my Buffalo people, and the last couple text messages I had with them was about Armstead, right? So it's very obvious that the next thing I'm going to ask them about is Armstead. Like, that's the topic. So I write, done deal. And the person writes back, thumbs up. Like, they thumbs up, done deal.
Right.
Which I translate that as, Eric Armstead is expected to sign with the Buffalo Bills.
Of course.
Like, that's just how it goes. I get the thumbs up all the time.
Yes.
The person writes back like 2 minutes later, yeah, I think he's going to Jacksonville. I go, what? I said, I just transmitted he's going to Buffalo. And he's like, oh, no, he's going to Jacksonville. I see Rappaport tweets that he's going to Jacksonville. I text Ian. I'm like, oh, my God. He goes, dude, I can guess what happened, you know, whatever. And we like wound up talking about it later. I was horrified. So in the moment, I'm at the car wash. Mikey's screaming, crying. I'm like, what am I going to do here? So I don't know. In those moments, I just feel like when you're transparent, people understand.
Yes.
I literally tweeted what I just said to you.
Right.
I said, got a thumbs up from Buffalo about the deal being done. Source didn't know I meant his team. Thought he meant the Jags.
But that's how you do it. You've learned well. I'm so proud of you.
Right? Like, right. Trust me, I weighed just deleting it and just sitting in it and let everyone make fun of me.
Right.
But then I'm like, I'm just going to tell everyone that I made a mistake because I made a mistake.
Right. Get ahead of everyone making fun of you by making fun of yourself. That's what
correct.
You do.
Like,
I've told you
idiot.
That. Yes.
Sorry, my sources are emoji stupid. You don't realize that a thumbs up on done deal means thumbs up for your team. That's how this works.
Are you done with that source or no?
Yeah, actually. not because of that, because of something else afterwards. And I was like, we're done.
Okay.
Like, you're terrible at this.
I could
his information's great, actually. It's just his communication skills are not fantastic. I had another agent who I'm done with say to me, you know, I'm only talking to you, just so you know. And I said, oh, thanks. I appreciate that you're only sharing this with me.
Sure.
I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I know that's a lie, but if you're going to trust the information with me, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out he wasn't just talking to me, by the way, because the story that of the player he represented, that story got broken, not by me. So that person, he gave it to someone else. So I can't help myself. So I circle back with him. And I said to him, hey, by the way, I'm so glad that you were only talking to me. And he said, no, what I meant is I'm only talking to you at this moment. And I said, oh, okay, well, I'm never going to talk to you again.
Yes.
So thank you.
Right. The Stugatz of agents. Yes.
Which.
I mean, it's a heady response by him. I mean.
It's
also the only response.
It's insulting to my intelligence and my awareness. So. While I'm sure he has tons of information that he can help give my career a lift, I would much rather have a little bit of self-respect.
I love it. I could speak to you all day. And I want, I'd rather talk about your stories than talk about what actually happened in the NFL. But I was thinking as you were talking, you're addicted to this, aren't you? Like, your job makes me tired. You're addicted to this. You're not going to be able to turn it off. I'm not saying you're looking to turn it off, but when the time comes where you're thinking about retirement, I don't think you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah. I think about it all the time of what is it about this that I enjoy so much
you
because
love
it's
it.
Painful.
Yeah, I know.
It's you know, like I, last week during free agency, I couldn't go to the gym. Obviously I just told you the story about my car wash, like for 1 second.
You're addicted.
It's unhealthy, but I like relationships. I like when people trust me with the information. And sometimes it's as simple as I just like beating the boys.
Yes.
It's like I'm back in third grade.
Right.
I was in when I played sports, I played on all the boys teams.
Right.
I like just showing everyone in the NFL space that women can do it too. This isn't just a guy's game.
That is a perfect spot to end. You are not only doing it, you're doing it better than every single person who's out there doing it. I am very proud of you. Diana Russini, The Athletic. Tell Schefter to go fuck himself when you have dinner, okay?
I cannot wait. He's definitely paying too. taking my trades.
Use that Judy money.
Yeah, exactly.
He loves you. Schefter loves you. But that was disrespectful what he did on McAfee show. Tell him to go f*** himself.
Billy, you were not present. You were in a meeting while we were taping with Diana Rossini. One of the stories she told was she had the Jerry Jeudy report of him re-signing with the Broncos. She had it all typed up. She had her sources. She had two sources. She was ready to go. She had the tweet ready to send out. She was waiting for The Athletic to give her a thumbs up. They didn't give her a thumbs up. And while she was waiting for that thumbs up, Adam Schefter scooped her, came in with a report. His source, I believe, was someone in ownership or something, she was telling us. And what was that?
A higher up. He had a higher source.
Right. He had a higher source than she had. She had two sources. So she has this thing on social media. She's ready to hit send. She's waiting for The Athletic to give her the thumbs up. She gets the thumbs up from The Athletic after Adam Schefter tweets out the Jerry Jeudy report. Billy.
That's devastating.
How can she succeed if The Athletic is waiting for Schefter to tweet it out before they give Diana the thumbs up? I mean,
she even said the teams were like, yeah, you got it.
Yep.
You got
it.
Great.
Yep. Having a Schefter, like going against Schefter, has to be annoying, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would think
he's relentless.
Who's better at their job, Schefter or Prime Jordan?
Prime Schefter, Prime Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great question.
It's a fantastic
question. Who'd you rather go up against, I guess is how I should ask the question. Prime Schefter or Prime Jordan?
Wow. I mean, listen, there was a period where Prime Jordan, where no one was winning titles. Mm-hmm. He retired for 2 years. He went away for 2 years. And that's the only reason Olajuwon has two. But guys like Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, they realized pretty quickly we're not winning titles because this guy's around and he's going to hog them all up. There are occasional reports. I shouldn't even say occasional. Rossini does win some battles. Mm-hmm. So I would say going up against Prime Jordan would be more difficult.
Okay.
You know, just my thoughts. Because at least you win once in a while going up against Prime Schefter. You never won going up against Prime Jordan.
Yeah.
You know?
You can hover around the third tier running back market and scoop him because he's not even paying attention to it.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Third tier running back.
I got Amir Abdullah re-signing. What do you got, Schefter?
The thing, though, is that like I feel like that's where our guy Leonard Fournette is right now. And I'm like, he's a free agent. And I'm just locked in on wanting Leonard Fournette news. You know what I mean? Just to text Mikey C about this.
To the Giants.
Oh, believe me.
Mikey C's he's a 49er fan.
I guarantee you wherever Leonard Fournette signs, Billy, you won't get it, but me and Mikey A will get some text about Leonard Fournette the second he signs somewhere, okay?
This may be the end of the line, though. You know what I mean? I'm not sure. Practice right. Squad guy last year. I don't know if it's going to work out for him.
Yeah. I can't believe I really entertained and broke it down seriously. Right. Adam Schefter brought Michael Jordan.
It really was a ridiculous question by me. I couldn't believe that went anywhere. And then you're answering the question, and in my head, I'm like, well, I hope it doesn't come to me for like some sort of rebuttal because I didn't think about this before it came out of my mouth. It just happened.
My response was going to be ditto.
For someone whose job is somewhat like communicating, I really should think about what comes out of my mouth more often. You know?
Yes, right. And perhaps, you know, when I give a response, maybe just responding back. I don't know.
you got it handled, I think.
I broke it down way too seriously.
Yeah, you know. Anyway.
Anyway. It was nice to have Diana Rossini on.
It was.
Great.
I liked
she really
it.
Is.
I miss her.
I do. I miss her deeply. She's fantastic. Anyway, guys, March Madness. Mikey, how many TVs you got rolling right now?
Going with three, and as soon as we end this, the computer becomes number four.
Wow. Yeah. And you,
listen,
you
if you didn't take Michigan State, what was that, Bill?
You bring the phone or an iPad into the mix? Like, what's the max number of screens you can have going at once watching these
four
games?
Four games, four TVs.
Okay, right. Perfect.
Do you Do you find yourself laughing at people who didn't take Michigan State in the first round? There are very few givens in life, okay? Death, taxes, and Tom Izzo winning at least one game in March. That's it. You didn't take him, it's on you. Sorry. God bless March.
A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. In fact, you know what? Here's another thing that hasn't changed. It's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate since 1975, and we still haven't settled it. You know, Miller Lite solves so many problems. I'm not a thinking man. I don't want to think. I want to just find a beer that has undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. One that's less filling? One that still has this incredible taste? How can I do this? Oh, I'll just have a Miller Lite. You know why? Because Miller Lite keeps it simple. It's undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. Exactly what I'm looking for. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/GBF. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Lite Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories. Cows and carbs and premium regular beer.